Welcome to the Mike Show. And here with Xmas time, yet again. We're going to talk about getting loaded.
Oh, and along with me is the single loneliest sandwich maker ever.
It's a Foreman grill.
Foreman grill for one.
For one. Actually, you can get two burgers on that thing.
No, you can't.
Yeah, I've done it before.
It's like a fucking toast. This is the saddest thing I've ever seen in my life. And I was on the Battalion Death March.
Okay. So anyway, in our first installment, in this installment, we were paired to my uncle's bar.
Mass's
bar in Bayonne. And it's hard to get out of there.
Yeah.
It's cheap. You can drink cheap, get loaded for not a lot of money, buybacks on every third round. I got a buyback on two rounds.
All right, you want to go? Should we go there?
Let's go back.
Should we go there right now?
We got to go back. What are we doing
Jesus
back here?
Jesus Christ.
Doing this fucking cut podcast.
We're listening to fucking Sergeant Pepper, looking at each other's eyes. Jesus Christ. Oh, this sounds better mono.
Uh-huh.
All right.
So here we are. We're going to talk about drinking.
I'm for it.
And the downfall of drinking. Why do you drink? I have one excuse for drinking. Why do you drink?
Why do I drink? I'm bored.
Okay.
Bored and lonely.
You don't drink to forget?
Forget what?
Bad things?
No.
See, that's what I drink for.
Really?
I drink to forget.
I don't drink to forget.
You drink, you're bored?
Yeah, I'm bored.
Lonely?
Lonely,
yeah, loneliness is good.
Yeah, lonely. What do you drink to forget? The war?
Just bad stuff that has happened in your life.
But it's there when you wake up.
It is, but you forget for that period when you're drunk.
True. That's true.
Yeah. It's a momentary thing.
Right.
But
if you just want to forget, why don't you just kill yourself?
Well, hey, you have to go on.
You have to go on drinking and forgetting. No, I drink.
You know why you can't kill yourself?
This is gonna be heavy. let me take a slug.
You can't kill yourself because you hurt other people when you kill yourself.
That's true. You're right.
You did.
You're right.
You can't do it. And that's the reason. Because you leave a horrible legacy and people are, you know.
Yeah, you'll miss the
Super Bowl. Fucked up. You fucked them up for the rest of their lives.
You'll miss the Super Bowl. There's a new croissant place up in my neighborhood. I don't want to miss that.
Uh-huh.
I don't drink to forget things. It doesn't occur to my mind. No, when I drink...
You don't like the sort of oblivious feeling you get?
I like that.
The oceanic feeling?
I like
where
that.
Where you're just not, like, really attuned to any of the bad shit in your life?
I like that.
Okay. Well, that's forgetting in a sense.
I think I'm just bored.
Okay.
If I had someone with me to hang out with 24/7, I probably wouldn't drink as much. I think I'd be... If I had someone
loneliness, yeah.
That's loneliness.
Yeah.
I drink because I'm lonely.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't think about things in my life that are horrible. I should drink. No, that doesn't happen.
Yeah. No, I go with you on that.
Now, if while I'm drinking I forget about bad things, that's one thing.
Uh-huh.
But it never occurs to me. You know what? I want to forget, so I should drink.
No, that doesn't happen.
But it does for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which
is worse? Which, if somebody was to say you're an alcoholic, which would be the reason? Loneliness or to forget? Like, which one's the more serious problem? There's boredom and loneliness.
Yeah.
And then there's to forget.
I think to forget is for me. Yeah.
That's the more serious.
Yeah.
I agree.
I've lived alone for a long time.
All right.
I think I've gotten over the loneliness thing.
All right.
Because I've been in relationships, and that's been a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like living alone isn't so bad.
Right.
I've kind of seen that, like, well, wait a second. You know, there's a downside to not being lonely, too. And sometimes sometimes it's better.
Right. No, I agree with that. Like, there's plenty of times I'd rather be by myself. But there is a boredom. There is a time when you realize, I haven't showered in 2 days. I'm talking to myself. You know, that's sad. That's weird.
Yeah.
I think we're used to it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at people that live normal lives, I think I live a life that might not be as normal as I think.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't answer. No, like, I could disappear for 4 days. No one would fucking care. Uh-huh. You know? And I don't know if that's normal.
Yeah. No, I you know, I could probably disappear for two days.
A couple of years.
2 days. 2 days. I don't think I could go 4 days. I think somebody might notice that I'm missing after 2 days. Mm-hmm. You're saying 4 days.
Would that be because of work? Or?
Yeah, work.
Okay, work. Well, yeah. See, I only work 2 days a week. So, let's see. I could work... I mean, I could leave work on Friday and disappear. Uh-huh. All right. If I don't show up on Tuesday, no big deal. They don't know I fucking exist anyway. Uh-huh. So, come along next Friday, we're already at a week. Uh-huh. And no one's known I'm disappeared.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, you know, maybe, you know, maybe they'll be like, oh, Greg's not emailing me. Here's a good example of what I'm talking about. Here it is. Remember when I threw my back out back in April of 2009?
Okay.
Do you remember that?
Vaguely.
No, you don't.
Well, I think you were writing on your blog, Xmas time.
Well, I eventually wrote about how horrible it was. But back in April last year, I threw my back out. And I was in such tortured, horrible pain. I was on my back. I could not move.
Yeah.
Now, the building could have gone up in flames, and I literally could not have moved for 4 days. Uh-huh. Now, at the end of the 4 days, you know, I'm starting to feel better. And I literally, my computer was 5 feet away, and I couldn't get to it. Uh-huh. And I'm thinking, well, fans of Xmas time, they're used to seeing 10, 15 posts a day. Uh-huh. They've gone 4 days with no posts. So there was a little part of me that was like, well, this would be nice when I go back to my computer and I'll get all the, oh my gosh, Xmas, are you okay? Oh my God, we miss you. Where are you? We're calling the hospitals. We're calling the morgues. And there's a little bit of me that's like, okay, this is going to be a nice moment. So finally, on the fifth day, I'm able to fucking drag myself to the computer. And I'm like, and I'm just waiting for, you know, you know, we're praying for
you're
you.
A fan.
We hope you're okay.
Weighing in.
Yeah. Nothing.
Yeah.
Zero.
Yeah.
Nothing. Nobody gave two shits. Uh-huh. And then, and I'm posting 15 times a day, and nobody cared. Yeah.
That's life in general, though, I think. I think what happens is that die, people cry for a while.
Yeah.
And then you're forgotten.
I think until
those people die, and then you're completely forgotten.
I do think we overstayed how much we matter to people. Yeah. I think if we knew how little anyone would care if we disappeared, it'd be heartbreaking. Life goes on.
No, we have to ignore those things to go on.
Yeah.
Those are things that are there. But you have to ignore them so you can go on.
Okay, I thought we were talking about drinking. This is the worst conversation I've ever had in my fucking life. I'll be honest.
It's the Mike Show.
Jesus Christ.
With Xmas time. All right, let's get this thing started.
Oh, God, that was quite a preamble.
Do you remember the first time you ever got drunk?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, unlike most people, I did not get drunk in high school. When I was in ninth grade, I went to my first party where there was beer.
High school.
Ninth grade.
Yeah, you said you didn't get drunk in high school.
Can I tell the fucking story? Okay. Or you want to tell the story? Okay. No, you know me. You want to be me? Huh?
I'm just pointing out a contradiction.
Oh.
Okay.
That didn't exist. So, ninth grade, I go to this party. It's my buddy's older brother's back from college. He bought a keg. His parents are in town. And I started having a beer or whatever. And I'll never forget two of my friends who shall remain nameless said, and I could hear them walk away, let's get Greg shit-faced tonight. And for some reason, that stuck a burr in my eye. And I was like, fuck you. You know, that's not happening.
Yeah.
So I spent the rest of my high school not drinking.
Really?
And
that's impressive.
And I was always, I got a girlfriend, she'd always want to go to these parties, and would go. And I'd sit there, and I'm like, you know, number one, you people are idiots. Number two, I just wanted to be with my girlfriend, making out, getting up in them drawers, doing my thing. And it had no appeal to me. Then I went to college, got through my whole first semester without drinking, got a 1-0.
Great. 1-0?
My brother was like, You're the only person I've ever known who didn't drink, didn't pledge a fraternity, and got a 1-0.
Wow.
Miraculously was asked back, and the first time I got drunk was midterm, second semester.
Wow.
I had a coffee mug that said, "Ask me about my lobotomy."
That's good.
And we
I'd like to get one of those.
And we would just, my roommate had a case or something, and like we just, you know, and that was the first time I got drunk.
Ask me about my lobotomy.
Ask me about, and I got loose. I got loose from, because they were like, "Oh, we have to stay in the suite. We have to stay in the room." Uh-huh. And I got loose. I like bust, I'm running around. The RA is trying to hide me because she, you know, she's very sweet. She's like, "I'm like shoving this mug in her face. Ask me about lobotomy." You know? That was the first time I got drunk. And the last.
I know that's not true.
Now, what was your first time?
First time
making
I got
to a man.
The first time.
Man.
The first time I got drunk was actually the
after JFK got shot.
Summer after my sophomore year in high school.
What I said.
And I mean, I was a couple years off of at the time. The age was 18.
Right.
But, you know,
18, yeah, yeah. Okay.
My friends were
losers.
My friends were a year older than me,
mm-hmm.
and they were chomping at the bit to get alcohol. And one of my friends had a pool party that summer, mm-hmm. and he had an older sister.
Oh yeah,
who was able.
Oh yeah, you,
to buy the beer.
Did you push all up on that?
She
you get up in there.
She
come
bought.
On,
she
come
bought,
on. Come on.
She bought a case of Miller Genuine Draft. And literally, I was drunk on two beers.
Yeah, of course.
I was sort of the designated DJ for this party. It was a pool party, a summer party. And I remember going up to, I lived up the block from the party.
Mm-hmm. And, so this was like 78, 77?
And this was...
and you're the DJ, so...
Yeah, 78. Summer of 78.
Right.
And...
You're doing a little Rock Me Gently.
Yeah, a little...
easing it into a little
No, I think I was into the punky stuff
okay.
at that time. That was Costello. Maybe a little Clash.
Mm-hmm.
And so
little,
I had
Then your Road to Ruin had come up. So you're doing I Want to Be Sedated and everybody thinks you're
yeah,
awesome.
Yeah, yeah. So I was... I realized...
It sounds like a Judy Blum. But then again, maybe I won't. I got to be honest.
So I had to get some more records, and I had to go up the block to my house to get the records. And literally, I could feel my legs were not, you know, normal.
Mm-hmm.
The two beers had, you know, affected my walking, that I was like, oh, okay, this is what being drunk is. So I got the records, I came back down, and by this point, you know, things were really progressing quickly with the drinking and getting drunk. People were jumping into a pool.
This is before the hostages.
This is, yeah, before the hostages. And,
sorry, by the time you get back to the pool, everybody's wasted.
Everybody was wasted. Everybody is in the pool. And people are taking their clothes off, which was interesting.
Yikes.
There were some women, and they were taking their tops off.
Right. Were these teenagers?
Yeah.
Young
teenagers. There were young
yeah.
women,
yeah.
You know, and that yeah, was yeah, that yeah. was exciting to see.
No.
But unfortunately,
no.
A friend of mine at the time.
No friend no more. No. Sorry, Jerry. No.
He lost his bottoms, and decided that he's going to do some handstands in a 4-foot pool.
Mm-hmm.
So picture picture a you know almost 6-foot young right. man. Doing a handstand.
Right. Did he have
in a 4-foot pool?
Right. So he had a huge member. It looked like a saxophone.
No, it was. Not, I wouldn't describe it as huge.
Right.
But it was just
better than that.
Unsightly.
Okay.
Let's just say unsightly.
Right.
I didn't want to see that.
Right.
And there it was in front of my face.
Right.
On the first time I've ever gotten drunk, and it sort of.
So you equate getting drunk with seeing a dude's penis. And that's why you get. And that's why you get drunk.
That's why.
Boom, nailed it.
That's why I drink to forget.
You yeah. drink to remember that penis.
No, I drink to forget.
Forget what?
Forget the penis.
Forget life
down.
Before the penis. The first time you got drunk, you saw a penis.
Yeah.
And now you cling to that beer, hoping it comes back. I think we've solved something here, partner.
Okay. Anyway, that was the first time I got drunk.
Drinking the gayness.
What would you describe as the most memorable times you've ever gotten drunk?
Well, by definition, they're not memorable.
You black out a lot. Let's put it that way.
Right now, yeah. Well, one time in college... Well, actually, here's one. My buddy John and I got in this routine of every Friday at 5 o'clock, we'd do tequila shots, play chess, and listen to Mumps. Uh-huh. None of which makes sense, as I'm saying a lot.
The chess, in particular, seems weird.
And
you got drunk before you played chess.
No, as we're playing chess.
I guess
it seemed like a classy thing to do. And as I'm telling this story, I don't know if chess was actually part of it. Because that makes no sense. Uh-huh. But, so we're doing it. So, one day, Friday afternoon, I had a radio show. I was doing my radio show. Hey. And my brother called. My brother at the time was at the University of Virginia. And he was like, hey, fat ass. Call me fat ass at the time. It's like he knew.
That's not good.
And he was like, hey, we're coming to visit. Me and a couple of my boys. He had never visited before, you know. I'm like, oh, awesome. So, you know, he's like, we'll be there in an hour and a half, whatever. Hang up the phone, do my radio show. Now, you would think it would occur to me, Big Brother's coming to town. We got a party planned that night at my house later on. Get the tequila chess thing.
Uh-huh.
No.
No.
I'm like, we'll do the tequila. Big Bro will be here. No big deal. I do 18 shots of tequila,
which
I couldn't do 18 shots of water right now.
Yeah.
18 shots of tequila. Next thing I know, I come to, and he has the back of my head. He has shown up since then. He's shoving my head into this trash can of grain alcohol to get me to pass out.
Because
apparently, I got so wasted, and then he showed up. And we go to this party, and we got in this huge fight. Every window in this house was busted out.
Wow.
I wake up in the morning, into the sheetrock. It's like Daffy Duck running through. There's like a cartoon figure of my body in the wall.
Uh-huh.
Bone. And then he wakes me up at 6. Fat ass, where do we go for breakfast?
Uh-huh.
I had 18 shots of tequila.
That's impressive.
You don't seem impressed.
No, that's impressive. Because I
wish I'd taken a picture of the fucking sheetrock. With my body going through. You even saw fingers.
Uh-huh. No, I'm impressed because I'm the ultimate lightweight, really, when it comes to drinking. I can drink beer, but once I mix beer, and usually...
With dudes.
10-plus beers with hard alcohol, that's my demise.
Well, that was back when I was at the time 20.
Yeah.
You know.
No, when I was a young man, literally, we would start off drinking 2 6-packs.
Right.
That was like our getting ready to go out
routine. Yeah.
You know, you could drink so much. It was just like, when I look back on it, I can't believe the amount of drinking we did and the crazy stuff we did.
Yeah.
And yet we survived. But drinking hard alcohol on top of that was always my demise. One of the worst experiences I ever had was I had gone out with some friends to a bar. It was a strip bar. there were strippers, and we were having a good time. And my friends had discovered this liqueur, Apple Berenson. Ever hear that?
No.
Oh, right. It's kind of like, what? What is that? But it's kind of, it's a liqueur. It's like, it tastes like apple juice almost. It doesn't even taste bad.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we started doing shots of that.
Body shots off each other?
No, not body shots off of each other.
And now, what is a liqueur? Like, I'm not...
It's just, you know, it's sort of, you know...
Kind of a liquor, but not a liquor.
It's
like,
not whiskey.
It's not... It's kind of booze.
It's more potent than beer.
Is it really?
Yeah, it is. You know, it's.
But not as potent as liquor.
But we were doing shots of that. You know, so in lieu of doing shots of Jack Daniels or other stuff, Jack Daniels was the big right. shot thing. Right. And I couldn't drink that stuff. That stuff always did me in.
Right.
But, so this actually, like, it didn't taste bad. It tastes like, you know, apples.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the way grain was back then. Remember grain?
Yeah. Grain. Right.
You fill it up with Kool-Aid and grain, and you're like, well, this is awesome.
You taste it, yeah.
And this is, like, cool. And then you wake up in New Mexico, like, on a train somewhere, like, with some dude. It's like, but, well, yeah, that was horrible.
Well, that's what happened to me.
No offense, Pablo.
Doing shots of Apple Berenson tipped me over the edge.
Right.
What happened was I got home. I woke up in the middle of the night.
Screaming?
No.
Crying?
No.
Masturbating?
No.
Shitting?
No.
Pissing?
No.
Crying.
No.
Crying.
I woke up in total darkness.
Uh-oh.
And in my drunken state, I thought I had been locked in the strip club. Mm-hmm. I thought I was in the men's room at the strip club, that they closed down the bar.
And left you in there.
And left me in there. So, I have to escape, right?
Escape?
I have to escape.
Right.
I have to get out of this strip club bathroom.
Right.
So what I begin to do in the dark.
Masturbate?
No.
Cry?
No.
Cry?
No.
Mourn?
No.
Cry?
I begin exploring to find the window that I can escape out of.
Because you think there's a window in a strip bathroom?
Well, yeah, most bathrooms have a window.
Do they? In a strip club?
Yeah, even in a strip club. And so, but I wasn't in a strip club. I was in my bedroom.
Right.
And I ended up basically sort of feeling around in my bedroom to the point where I actually got to the window in my bedroom, punched it out.
Of course.
Because I have to escape in my drunken state.
Very normal.
I feel
How
like,
old were you in this time?
Early 20s,
okay.
I'm thinking.
Okay.
This hasn't happened recently.
Right.
And
that you know
I was still living at home.
Right.
I was still living at home.
Right.
And basically, it wasn't until I had punched my way out of my own bedroom window
that you realized that,
that I realized I was on the front lawn of my parents' house.
Right.
And really,
Did you have to get them to open the door? Or did you
no.
crawl back into the broken window?
Here's what happened. Uh-huh. Once I got outside,
you said, "F this." You moved on to another life in the city.
No. I realized where I was, and the reason why I was trying to escape was because I had to urinate.
Right.
And so, once I punched my way through the window...
You got to let that stuff flow, bro.
Do I come back in the window and use the bathroom inside, or do I just urinate outside?
Urinate outside.
That's what I did.
Come on.
Yeah. So, I urinated outside, and then crawled back in the window. I didn't alert anybody else.
Did your parents note the window the next day?
Like, no. Nobody... Yeah, I was able to, like...
You patched the window up?
Something happened. Maybe.
What do you mean something happened?
Maybe I didn't punch my way through the screen. Maybe I was able to pull it across. But, yeah, there's
evidence. Oh, that changes the story, bro.
But
maybe you walked out the door quietly.
The whole point was I had to escape.
Right.
I escaped and then
yeah.
discovered that I was on the front lawn of my parents' house. I wasn't in the strip club.
That's no way to live life, bro. If you think you're in a strip club, but you're actually in your parents' house, that's a red alarm, bro.
Uh-huh.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Now, one time, I was a legend in my college for a brief period of time because during the summer of 95, I'd already graduated. I was just sitting around the summer doing chicks. Dazed and Confused. I think I had it on a videotape or it came on HBO or something. One night, I'm sitting there and a little buddy of mine, his name was Jeff, and he goes, Dazed and Confused comes on. He goes, I bet you can't drink 30 beers by the time this movie's over. And I said, fuck you. And I did it.
30 beers.
And so I was a legend for you. But what people don't
know.
That's
a lot of beer.
In like an hour and a half.
Yeah, no, that's crazy.
But what a lot of people don't know is the next night, I watched Dazed and Confused again. There was no one around. I drank 27.
Uh-huh.
So, that's not good. But, now, what sets you up? Like, do weddings or funerals or coronations? Like...
No. Like I said, to me, the worst combination is beer, multiple beers, with hard liquor.
Yeah.
One of our famous stories is the...
famous?
One of our famous stories is the infamous rejection of you from the Stone Pony.
Oh, too soon, bro. It's only been 10 years.
Has it been 10 years?
It's been 10 years. That was December 2000.
Okay. You have a better memory for these things.
Well, I'm a historian.
Because, I mean, for one thing, I sort of let myself lapse into letting you drink.
Now, this still makes no sense.
Letting you drink hard liquor.
I blame you. I blame you. Now, we met up with these girls, remember?
I did not know the girls. Now, you sort of made the arrangement to
somehow
have me drive you and these young girls to this show.
It was me, you, Ope, and these two girls.
Yes.
Okay. Now, these two girls, I don't remember how we hooked up with them, but they were like, you need a ride?
They were friends of the band, right?
I don't think they were friends of the... We were going to see Mariah.
Yes.
I don't think they were friends of the band at that time. I think they...
Oh, I thought they were.
They became friends of the band.
Oh, I thought they were...
Twice. Boom! And I think somehow on the board, one of them was like, you need a ride? And somehow it happened. I don't
You arranged it. I didn't arrange this thing.
I know it. So we show up, open eye, and we meet these two girls. And one of them, you know, they're very sweet girls. And one of them was very frosty. Like, she would not even fucking look at us. Like, and then she talks to the other girl, and she's from England. She has a British accent. So we're walking along, she's talking to what's her name, and I decide I have to make conversation with her. I go, whatever her name is, I'm picking up a Midwestern accent. I barely get that out of my mouth. She, I'm from Europe, thank you very much.
Yes.
I was like, yeah, I got it. You know, okay. So we get in your car, and we're driving down to Asbury Park, and for some reason they were like, let's stop at this liquor store. And you stopped!
No, you're not remembering it correctly. We got the
liquor. Or am I?
We got the liquor before we even got in the car.
Did we?
Yes.
No, we
right here. Right no. here in Bayonne. We did.
Did we?
Yes, we did.
No.
Yes, we
no.
did.
No.
We did.
No.
We did. The liquor was in the car.
I thought I remember stopping because.
No, we didn't stop midway. Where are we going to stop, on the parkway or the turnpike?
Parkway.
It's the place to stop on the parkway.
I just remember...
Pick up alcohol.
Let's give this one girl, Carol. Let's say her name is Carol.
Yes.
I remember she's like, hey, you want to come in? Liquor store? I'm like, all right. I had no intention of buying liquor. But for some reason, being surrounded by these two girls, I was like, liquor?
Yeah.
That sounds all right. Yeah. And I bought a Fifth of Jack or whatever.
Yes, that's what it was. Or Southern Comfort.
Southern Comfort. You're right. Yes.
It was Southern Comfort.
Oh, you're right. You're right. And for some reason,
I don't think I ever saw you drink Southern Comfort before.
No. I don't know why I wandered in there. And she's like, let's get some liquor. And I'm like, all right.
That was before we even set out. That was in Bayonne.
So then we get in your car, and I just start chugging it. Like, look, 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 look.
Yeah. And you were completely obliterated by the time we get to Asbury Park.
I was obliterated. And the last thing I remember is coming back with you guys. I had like 9 bottles of Bud in my hands. I was like Edward Scissorhands with the bottles.
No, it was, I was wrong. I was in the wrong for letting you guys drink all the way down there.
So you admit that you're at fault?
Oh, no, yeah, I was definitely... And as I'm driving, I'm like, what the hell am I doing? I'm like, am I 17 again? Am I 18 again? Why am I letting these people
drink
in my car?
These girls could have said, you know, let's put up KKK crosses. I said, okay, whatever.
But anyway, you were in bad shape when we got to the Stone Pony.
I was.
And you began charging the stage.
Being excited about the band. Which I don't think is against the law.
But you were knocking people over. You were bumping into people.
Which in the late 70s was en vogue. Let's be honest.
This was not the late 70s.
Now, I do remember...
The late 90s.
Now, I do remember vaguely once I got kicked out. Do you remember me coming back with Steve Earle's band?
What I remember is that you got kicked out of the Stone Pony.
That's a lonely place. That's a hard. You walk out of there, Park it's is ocean.
There isn't a lot of places you can go to once you've been kicked out of the Stone Pony.
And I tried to sneak back in.
And you kept making the effort to sneak back through the band entrance to the club. And we were all observing this.
Oh, that's sweet of you. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that.
We'd see you charge in with try to charge in with the musicians.
Right, while you were enjoying the show. That's awesome.
While we were enjoying the show. And we're like, there's Greg, you know, he's trying to gain access to the place and being thrown out yet again, over and over again.
I did almost make it on with Steve Earle, apparently. Like, I carried a whole amp, and like, hey, and they come.
No, you did your best, you know, but they kept throwing you back out. And from what we later gleaned, was that you repaired to the that other sort of dingy bar next to the Stone Pony.
Right.
So, like, what happened?
The Little Stone Pony.
The Little Stone Pony. So, after the show, we have to find you.
Once the show is over, once you've had your fun,
yes.
And then you're like, boy, I hope Greg's alive. Oh.
That's basically what happened.
Yeah, after this 2-hour Steve Earle show, you're like, gee, I hope Greg survived the ocean.
That was basically what happened.
And, awesome.
But we were concerned about your welfare after the show.
After the show.
After the show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And what happened was me and another friend.
Associate.
Went to the...
Freda.
We heard that you had been... sent to the Asbury Park police and picked you up.
Was that on my Facebook? How'd you know that?
I think we spoke to the people at the bar where you had been for a while.
Right.
And they told us you were escorted by the police out of there. And that the police had you in custody. So the next stop was...
Good luck, coppers.
So the next stop was the Asbury Park police station. So me and a friend...
Freda.
So me and... Or Loretta. I think her name was...
Oh, there you go.
So me and Loretta go to the Asbury Park police station looking for you. And I park in the back, and we're sort of rounding the entrance to the police station. And we run into a guy... A young man.
Handsome?
No. Mm-hmm. He looked like he was just... Well, it turned out he was just
handsome.
Let go by the police. And Loretta decides to be sort of a wiseacre.
No.
With this person.
Well, I don't believe that.
Yeah, and she's like, they pick you up for, you know? She's just kind of like, you know, what? You know, you're going to... Start being cracking wise with some guy who, some stranger just exited a police station.
Right. Did you say cracking wise?
Cracking wise, yeah. And fortunately, he did not lash out at Loretta.
He was not forthcoming.
No, he was not. He was not forthcoming, and he did not lash out at me or Loretta.
Right.
And we were able to proceed into the station without getting into an altercation. And, we found out that you had been put on a train, which, you know, I didn't think happened anymore, but like a Western, they had run you out of town.
Shot me to Brooklyn.
They didn't want to have anything to do with you anymore, and they put you on a train to Manhattan, or
Brooklyn, whatever. Wherever, Ireland.
You ended up getting home somehow.
Oh, I got home.
Via a train.
Yeah.
Do you remember the train ride at all?
No. But the next day, there was a show the next day that we were supposed to go to. Oh, the next day there was a show at Mercury. I got kicked out of that one.
Back to back?
Back to back.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Oh, I got kicked out of this. Open eye, go to the Mercury show, and I got kicked out.
Is that the one where you lost a shoe?
No.
No,
that was a different one. Like, what are you talking about? I don't know. When did I lose a shoe? But the night after that was, So I got booted out two straight shows. So the night after that was at Lakeside. It was part of, not South by South. Was it South by South? No.
CMJ.
The open eye show up at Lakeside. Mariah's going to play there. And they're all just sitting there and they're just laughing. Like, I'm telling this story or whatever. So they play their set. And like, during Can't Hardly Wait, were you there when they gave me the egg to the shh, 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 shh?
No, I don't think I was there.
Well, that goes a whole fucking story, but... but I got kicked out of two straight nights.
I didn't even realize that.
That was fucking brutal. Uh-huh. Only when you're that young can you be that drunk. Uh-huh. Two straight nights.
Yeah, I don't bounce back well anymore.
No, I don't at all. Before I was 30, I used to laugh at people with hangovers.
Yeah.
These people, oh, a hangover? I'd be like, what? Hangover? Like, I'd be out till 5, wake up at 7, go to work. Like, I'd be like, what are you talking about? All of a sudden, like, 30, maybe 32 or something, it hit me like, fuck. I'm like, oh my God, this is horrible. Because before, I was like, well, I have the gift of no hangovers. You know, like,
yeah.
You may have the gift of being successful and owning a home and going to good college and having a wife. But I don't get hungover.
Yeah.
And then, boom, I hit the wall.
Yeah.
That's it. Now, like tomorrow, I'm drunk. Now, tomorrow, I'll be in bed crying most of the day. I used to be able to go out till 4 or 5, bounce out of bed at 7, laugh at people.
Yeah.
That's all I was like 30.
I never had that.
Really?
Always, yeah. No. I mean, when I got loaded, it was...
Even
young. I mean, what we drank, I could drink more.
Right.
I could drink more,
right.
But I still suffered, you know, it's always kind of...
Yeah, I never suffered. Bounce right out, yeah. Like, hey, you know, what's up? Maybe I should have suffered more, but now, like, I have a couple of beers, and, like, for 2 days, I'm crawling around whining, crying like a little girl, you know. Yeah.
Two-day recovery period?
At least.
Yeah, right.
At least.
Okay. And, I've never had a two-day recovery period.
Two-day, and one of those days is just praying to, oh, Lord Jesus, help me, save me, oh, God, you know. So, but until I was 30, so I used to laugh at people, you know.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, I have a gift. Maybe you make money, you have children. I don't get
it. It's not a bad thing.
It is a bad thing. Maybe if I got hungover when I was 22, I wouldn't have kept drinking. I wouldn't have drunk so much, you know. Because I used to, when I was in Oxford, I'd come home from work and have a bottle of Gordon's gin.
Wow.
I'd drink it with tonic water and make a mixtape. The lights would be out in my room. I'd be total darkness. And I'd make a mixtape. I'd pick a friend or pick a girl, pick whatever. I'm going to make a mixtape for
Lisk.
And I'd make it as I'm drinking. And then I'd listen to it. Drink and drink and drink. And then the next day I'd listen to it. I'd never send it, you know. Mm-hmm. That was my drink in Oxford. Gordon's gin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know you've had a lot of bizarre...
I'm sorry. You said bizarre. I said bizarre. I'm going to piss right now. You carry the broadcast for about a minute.
You're not talking.
I'm not talking. I know you've had a lot of bizarre incidents occur around weddings.
Oh, yeah.
And have, you know, some incidents with drinking during weddings, but not quite on the same level as you have. Do you want to share some of your stories of drinking during weddings?
Still pissing, bro. You gotta carry it. You have magazines?
Xmas time is in the bathroom right now, relieving himself.
Were you talking about weddings?
We're talking about weddings.
Oh, boy.
And the problems of alcohol at your weddings.
At my weddings?
At the weddings you attend.
Well, weddings are a signal for people to lose their fucking minds. So.
Uh-huh.
But, you don't have any great wedding stories, or?
Not on that, on the scale that you do. You seem
really?
To, yeah, weddings seems to be your,
milieu?
Milieu. For really,
Well, my biggest regret of a wedding was, 12 years ago, upstate New York. And I go, and there's one other single girl there. And she is hot. And she is makes it totally clear, I don't care. I'm single. I'm alone. I'm at a wedding. I'm getting laid tonight.
Yeah.
And I could have shown up in a wheelchair, you know, with anal warts coming out of my eyeballs. And she'd be like, let's do
it. Yeah, yeah.
So she just latches on to me.
Yeah.
Now, what does our guy do at this point? Does he stop drinking and say, let's do this, baby? Or does he say, let me have 9,000 beers? And you can guess. So next thing I know, I kind of... And I can remember, I can still remember her. Like, we're making out, and we're, you know. She's like, please stop drinking, because I want you to fuck me.
Really?
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, baby. If life was...
That doesn't happen. That doesn't happen a lot in life. I can vouch for that.
It doesn't. And I'm like, oh, sweet, naive little girl. I would love to stop drinking and nail you, but unfortunately, I'm an idiot. And so, next thing you know, I'm naked. Well, I shouldn't say naked because I did have my penny loafers on. Running out in the parking lot with a chocolate cake. smearing it all over myself.
Oh, yeah.
So I didn't get laid that night. Even though she was pregnant. And that was because of a wedding.
Uh-huh.
And then there's the... when I hooked up with a... She must have been 60 at the time. I was 24. She had just turned 60. Somehow we...
The summer of what year is this?
96.
96.
I turned 24, and a week later was this wedding.
Why wasn't a movie made of this? The summer of 96.
Of
you hooking up with a 60-year-old.
Well, at the time, it didn't seem that strange. So, our tongues are done. We're like... And I don't know what the hell happened. Like, I'm just wasted. She's like laughing away at me, and we're having a good time. And then all of a sudden, I woke up the next day and I go, oh my God, this is the worst thing that's ever happened. Everyone's making fun of me because, you know, Now, we didn't sleep together. We just made out.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
Like teenagers if the plane was going down. But we did only make out. Now, the worst part is...
Like, everybody knew about it.
Well, yeah, that too. And a year later, I'd since moved to New York, and we went down for, I don't know what holiday it was, I can't remember. And we end up in my hometown, where she lived, at some party. Something like hoedown. It was literally, hey, everyone. Like, I don't want to be, it's the way it was. It's like a hoedown. And I'm just standing, I see her, and I'm like, oh my God, I can't let her in, you know. I've waited the whole night. Finally, we're about to leave, and she grabs me, pulls me onto the dance floor, and I'm like, all right, just get through this dance, you'll be fine, you know, no big deal, just act like da-da-da. And we're just doing, I don't know what the hell we were doing, probably the robot, right? And we're doing whatever, and all of a sudden she goes, you're a good dancer, which I know is bullshit, because I'm a great dancer, but she goes, you're a good dancer, I'm like, yeah. All of a sudden she grabs me, what else are you good at? And I'm like, ah! But I said, cunnilingus? Relationships? But that was horrible. And now she's in the hospital. So
I'm sorry to hear that.
But then I had a wedding a couple years ago up in Woodstock, where I was with a friend of mine. We were in a cabin. And somehow I hooked up with this girl. Her name was Khaki. Which, right away, I should have been like... And within minutes of meeting...
How do you spell that?
K-H-A-K-I. And within minutes of meeting Khaki, I saw a car seat.
Like the pants?
No, like the seat in a car. She had a kid.
Khaki.
And for some reason, she latched on to me, and she and her friend made it known that if I happen to have some coke, we'd have a three-way. Well, that didn't happen. I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm like, anyway, next thing you know, we're fucking in my cabin, and I look over, and there's my friend in the next bunk with his ass akimbo. He is flat, face down, ass up, and I'm like, if I keep it up during this, you know what I mean?
Why'd you look over there?
I don't know. I'm just looking around. Yeah, like, what am I, you know? And there he is.
You should have focused. If you would have focused, you wouldn't have seen it.
And his ass up, boom.
Yeah. I don't sleep. How does anybody sleep that way?
I don't know. Yeah. He's a mongrel. But, and I'm just pumping away and doing my thing and
fun. Was he strapping?
What?
The ass akimbo. Was not it distracting?
Enough that I noticed it. And I said, you know what? If I don't stop, I'm awesome.
Uh-huh.
And boom. I did my thing. Now, the next morning, he wakes up, and he's like, all right, I'm going to go to the, get a coffee. Anybody want it? I'm like four in the, we're still fucking around. You know, I'm knuckles deep.
He was oblivious?
Yeah, and she's jerking me off. And he's like, you want a bagel? And she's like, no. And I'm like, will you please leave? And he's like, oh, so temperate this time of the year. Autumn, late autumn, and blah, 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 blah. And then, like, he finally leaves, and we have another round. And then she starts talking about her fiancé. And I'm like,
you're engaged. Nice time to bring it up.
Yeah. I was like, I mean, I didn't give a shit. I'm like, you're engaged.
And she let me get this straight. Her name was Khaki.
Right.
How do you spell that?
Khaki.
Okay, it's not quite the same as the pants.
What are the pants?
Khaki pants.
It's spelled the same.
I think khaki's spelt a little different.
Who gives a shit? What are you doing?
I just wanted to know whether she was named after...
After pants.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough.
That's curious.
No, as I was banging her, it didn't occur to me, what's your etymology?
Uh-huh.
But,
It's curious.
So then she starts... Yeah. And then she starts talking about how lame her fiancé is.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like... Oh, come on. I just nailed you, you know, for like 10 hours. And now you're going to tell me, you know, I feel bad enough already. You got a fiancé. I don't care. Oh, he's, you know. And then she starts talking about his band sucks. I was like, oh, come on. And then she's like, and I don't know why, but I'm like, I don't know. What kind of music is it? She's like, white reggae. And I was like, well, all right. I don't feel
white like, reggae. Yeah. She made a point of making...
Yeah.
Sure, it was white reggae.
And so I was like, you know, I don't feel as bad
as opposed anymore. To the good reggae.
Yeah. I was like, well, I don't feel as guilty anymore because he does something like a douche. And then, like, ugh. Well, I had a good run there for a while.
No. You know, I've read your blog and, I mean, the only thing I think of regarding weddings, which, you know, I would get very drunk at weddings.
Right.
But nothing really, like, on that order would happen. Best time, I think, the most memorable time, I wouldn't say best time, was I went to a wedding of a cousin in Montclair, New Jersey, and it turned out the big motion of this wedding was that maybe Yogi Berra would be there at the groom's...
What? Hold
yes,
on.
Yes.
Why would Yogi Berra show up at someone's wedding?
He knew he was friends of the family of the groom.
Why wasn't he at the wedding?
Well, it's, you know, they're friends, you know, and I think he lives near Montclair, I think, in the area.
Right.
So it was highly likely that Yogi Berra was going to be at this wedding.
Right. So far, I got to be honest, this isn't as sexy as my story.
No, it's not sexy at all, and we're not going to a sexy place with this story. But
there's news.
Yogi Berra did not appear at the wedding. His wife was there.
Is she sexy?
No, not really.
Okay.
At this point. So Yogi Berra's wife was at the wedding, but Yogi Berra was not at the wedding.
But, yeah, that's a why would she even show up? Like,
she was friends of the family. It was kind of like that was the whole selling point of this wedding was that there was a chance Yogi Berra would appear there.
Right.
But instead, we got Yogi Berra's wife. But what was interesting about it was that my father, in one of his rare cutting loose moments, got pretty drunk at this wedding. He wasn't driving. And
safety first, kids.
Safety first. And but he, you know, he was definitely, you know, he didn't really get drunk. That wasn't his thing.
Right.
So we were driving home, and in fashion. We had one of our clunker cars that would break down on the way home,
right,
and we kept stalling at lights. And this particular car was a Plymouth Satellite, mm-hmm. and we would have to get out and sort of.
Should you bang bang? You got to push.
We had to hold the choke open.
Right.
You know, and what was most memorable about the thing was my father, you know, sort of giving us guidance from the back seat.
Right.
You know, he was just sitting there going, blow it out. So this became a mantra for me and my brothers whenever, you know, we needed a laugh, you know, we remembered that.
Blow it out.
We're trying to get this car started at a light, you know, it's stalled out, traffic is backing, people are blowing their horns behind us.
Right.
And my father's in the back seat.
Blow it out. Perfect.
Blow it out. Okay.
Now, at my sister's wedding, I do have a disaster story.
Oh, okay.
There was one girl there that... Anyway, I'll make a long story short. At the end of the night, after the reception, I went up to a girl who, it had been made clear to me, she was a bit generous with her morals. And I said, look, you're going to fuck someone tonight. It might as well be me. And it turned out to be my sister's boss.
Nice line. That was the exact line?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to fuck someone tonight. It might as well be me.
Okay, yeah.
Didn't work.
Very forward.
Yeah, didn't work.
No.
But, so anyway, yeah, the wedding thing has always been a disaster. But now that I'm older, you know.
You're wiser.
No.
No.
Whiter. No, whiter.
No. I'm not wiser.
No. But, I don't know. This is cratered. But the drinking... So now, where are you with the drinking? You got your uncle's bar.
Yeah. My uncle's bar is my one sort of downfall. You know, I don't go there during the week when I'm working.
Right.
Obviously, but... Weekends, it can be a problem because if I go in there, it's hard to get out.
It's hard to get out.
Yeah. You had a bit of a taste of that today.
Yeah. We were there for like 4 hours.
It's very cheap to drink there. It's very cheap to
it
drink
is.
There.
It is.
And,
I'm at a point now where I congratulate myself if I'm not drinking alone.
So. Yeah. No, that's a good thing.
That's a good thing.
I don't drink alone. That's my thing. I don't keep alcohol. You see, my refrigerator is...
It's all Diet 7-Up. 98 liters of Diet 7-Up.
Diet Sprite.
Sprite.
Yeah.
Whatever. Sorry.
It's a difference.
Sorry.
But
yeah, that's the step now. Don't drink alone because, you know, there's no one to hang out with anymore, so I'm just bored out of my fucking skull, so... I'll need to quit drinking and get a real fucking hobby, and,
Anyway, I would like to thank Xmas Time.
Thank you, Bob. I enjoyed
stopping by. We had our conversation about not alcoholism, but drinking in general.
Drinking, yeah.
And sharing some stories.
Good times, they call it.
Good times. They are good times.
They are good times.
Thank you, Greg, for coming over to Bain.
You got it, buddy.
Good night.